Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Greater New York Hospital Association's C. difficile call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will be given at that time. If anyone should require assistance during today's conference, please press star then zero on your touchtone telephone for operator assistance. As a reminder, today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the presentation over to your host, Ms. Hillary Jalon. Ms. Jalon, please begin.
Thank you so much, and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. Before we get started, I just want to let you know there are a couple people here with me, Rafael Ruiz from the Greater New York Hospital Association and Gina Shin, also from Greater New York Hospital Association. And Terry Straub will also be on the line momentarily, but we are going to open it up because we want to start the agenda for this call. It's really going to be a relatively short agenda, but we wanted to give you a couple of updates before the learning session, which is happening on this coming Friday. So I'll just give you a brief overview of the agenda. First, we had gotten quite a few comments about the C. difficile data collection form, that it was a little bit not quite as user-friendly as some people would have liked it with the whole cutting and pasting feature. So we did update that data collection form and try to make it a bit more user-friendly. Gina Shin forwarded it to you all. You should have it. It is still an Excel worksheet, and we have Rafael Ruiz here who is going to be giving some instructions for you on how to open it and how to use macros on Excel with this form. Then after that, we're going to be giving you an overview of the C. difficile kickoff learning session, which is happening on this Friday at the New York Athletic Club in Pelham Manor, New York. All of you should have gotten directions at this point. We're just going to give you a brief overview of the session, and then just answer any questions that you might have about it. It's going to be a great day. We've had fantastic turnout, but we'll get into a little bit about that a little bit later. And then finally, some of you that are on the line are also participating team members of the CLABS Collaborative, the Greater New York UHF CLABS Collaborative. So we're just going to talk a little bit about that, get away from C. difficile for one moment, talk a little bit about the CLABS data, and then finally we'll close it up and just get any other comments from participants that you may have. So without further ado, I'll introduce Rafael Ruiz, who will talk about the updated data collection form, and then we'll take some of your questions about it. So, Rafael?
Thanks, Hillary. Hello, everyone. So as Hillary said, based on comments that we got back from some of the initial tests we did, we eliminated the cutting and pasting. And so now the form, like she said, is still an Excel form, but you simply need to open the form, input your data, and then there is now a button, a toggle on the main data form that says export to GNYHA, and essentially what that does, when you hit it, it activates a macro, which is basically just code that you can't see, which performs the task of compiling the data for you, opening up the Save As dialog box, at which point you would simply point to the folder where you would like to save it, and then hit OK, and it will automatically generate the form. It will automatically put your hospital name and the reporting period in the file name, so you don't even need to do that anymore. And this serves two purposes, really. One, like I said earlier, it eliminates the cutting and pasting step, and it produces the file that you simply then attach to an email and send to me. This file is the same data that used to be found on the Submit to GNYHA tab, so it is already had removed all of the hospital internal fields that we agree Greater New York would not receive, for example, medical record number, patient name, et cetera, have been removed. And two, it provides you with a record of what you submitted to Greater New York. So you have your main data form and you're inputting your data, but then you also have these discrete files that will tell you, oh, okay, for January I submitted these cases, et cetera, et cetera. And so it serves those two functions. Now, I just wanted to address the macro issue quickly. Some of you may have heard the term macro, and really what it is it's a computer language which tells Excel to do certain actions when you hit that button. But many people by default on their computers will have the capability to use macros disabled as a security precaution, which is fine. What will happen is the form has a macro check. That is, when you click the form open, you don't even need to do anything. It just does it automatically behind the scenes. It will automatically figure out whether or not your version of Excel is running macros or not. If it is, if your Excel has macros enabled, then you will be taken directly to the data entry page, and you can begin to input your data without any further action. But if the file detects that your macros are disabled, then what happens is we have set up, I'm calling it a splash screen. So it's a screen that will pop up, and essentially it has the Greater New York logo and simply saying, you know, in order to use this form, you need to enable your macros. Now, we understand that many of you have not had to deal with macros before, and so to simplify the process for you, we have put on that initial splash screen step-by-step instructions on how to enable the macros. Now, the process is slightly different based on the version of Excel that you're running, and in fact, step one of our instructions here is how do you determine your version of Excel? And so we walk you through that, and once you do that, you then just pick the appropriate set of instructions based on your version and follow what the instructions say step by step. Gina and I will be at the Friday kickoff, and we will have one or two laptops set up somewhere within the center, and we'll have the data entry form there with us. So if any of you feel you would like a hands-on tutorial as to how to use the form, feel free to drop by, and Gina or I will sort of show you the screen that should pop up, and we'll walk you through following the instructions and showing you where all the where the menus are, etc. So that's it. And does anyone have any questions?
So thanks a lot, Raphael. Just to let you know also, we did test the form out. We gave it to a hospital to see how they felt it was, and they definitely thought it was user-friendly. So the macro feature may be a little daunting at first, but then it's very easy once the macros are enabled. Like Raphael said, there will be posts at the learning session where he and Gina will be demoing hospitals how to use the form and how to enable the macros. So it may be a little bit at first kind of like, what is this? But it's really very user-friendly. So, operator, are there any questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. If you are using a speakerphone, we do ask that you please lift your handset before asking your question. Again, if you do have a question or comment, please press the 1 key at this time. Our first question or comment is from the line of Audrey Adams with Montefiore Medical Center. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. This is Lucy Richardson over at Montefiore. I have a question for Mr. Ruiz.
Hi. How are you, Lucy?
How are you?
Good, thanks.
The question is this. I am currently doing the data entering for the C. difficile on the spreadsheet. I'm not having any problems with the spreadsheet. Do I now have to change over?
So the actual layout of the spreadsheet, so the actual layout of the data entry sheet that you have in front of you has not changed, with the sole exception that there's now a button at the top of the form for enabling the macros. Now, if you've already, like many of you have already started inputting your data into one of the older forms, we would ask that you switch over, but that doesn't mean that you need to re-enter every single case one at a time. You can simply transfer the data to the new form, and the new form, I don't know if I mentioned this, the new form is capable of holding up to 3,000 cases. It's designed to capture at least 1 year worth of data. If your particular facility doesn't have that many cases, currently it's set up to run through the end of 2009 if you're under the 3,000 case limit for that time period. So just for the sake of everybody being on the same page in the collaborative, I would ask that you switch to the new form because it not only addressed the cut and paste, but it also addresses a couple other glitches that did come up as we tested the form, and so they have also been addressed. I mean, they were minor, but they've been addressed in this current version.
So, Rafael, to transfer the data, would I just copy and paste on the new form?
That's correct. Just
God, I just had like.
You just highlight the data that's on your current form.
For his presentation, and he was like, "Why did you change the form?"
And then simply put your mouse onto the upper left-hand box right underneath the medical record number, and then hit paste, and then your data should paste into the appropriate fields on the new form, and you will not have to re-enter that data.
No, I just did it like for an hour on my day off.
That we started this.
Okay.
Data entering on the spreadsheet, and for some reason my computer just hung.
Yeah, I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. I changed, like, the questions.
I'm sorry?
Oh, my God.
Pardon me, Ms. Chin, your line is open. Wow. We're able to hear your background conversation.
Is there anything we can clarify on the form? I mean, the other thing that we could do is have an off-the-call discussion with you to try to work it out.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, and that goes for everyone. I mean, if for whatever reason you have any problems with the current form or transferring your data to the new form, you know, please, I'm here. Gina's here. Feel free to give us a ring, and we'll help you work through whatever obstacles in your way.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. We just want to make this easier for all of you because we did get a lot of feedback on the prior forms that they weren't quite as user-friendly as they could be. Operator, is there anyone else with questions about this?
I'm showing no further questions in queue at this time.
Okay. Well, Rafael, if you don't mind, if you could just stay on the line just in case someone else has questions a little bit later on, that would be great.
Sure.
But let me just repeat that at the learning session, we know a huge group of you are going to be there, and Rafael and Gina will be there to demonstrate the form. If anyone needs to have any kind of clarification on how to work with this form, again, we want to make it as easy as possible for all of you. And the other thing that we could do is just have some conversations with people that are having problems with the form to try to clarify any questions or just make it easier for you. That can easily be done. So the next topic that we have, we just want to give you an update on the C. difficile kickoff learning session, which is quickly approaching. It's on this coming Friday, March 7th, so it's in 2 days, at the New York Athletic Club in Pelham Manor, New York. If you don't have directions to it, you all should have gotten them, then you could just contact Gina or me, and we can make sure that you get there by giving you directions. We just wanted to give you a brief overview of the session. Before we do that, we do want to let all of you know registration is closed. Turnout for this is overwhelming. Already, we have over 300 people signed up to attend. So we definitely know that we've hit a really hot topic here and one of a lot of interest in this region. And we have a full day planned. As you know, registration starts at around 7:30 a.m. We're going to be right on time for the program because we have a full day. Opening remarks are going to start at 8:15 a.m. Ken Raske, the Greater New York Hospital Association president, and our senior vice president here at the United Hospital Fund, David Gould, will open the program up. And then after that, we have a leadership panel that's going to be talking about eliminating healthcare-acquired infections and what they've done at the highest levels to incorporate a zero-tolerance approach to healthcare-acquired infections. We have a great lineup for this group. Dr. Stephen Safier from Montefiore Medical Center, who's the CEO there, will be speaking, as well as Gail Donovan, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Continuum Health Partners. She'll be joining. And Audrey Wiener, so she's the president of the Jewish Home and Hospital Life Care System. So we're going to get more of a nursing home perspective for that. And then Maria Castaneda, who is the Secretary Treasurer for the 1199 Union. So we have a great panel lined up for that. And then after that session, we then have Betsy McCaughey, who will be talking about infection prevention. She'll be joining us to give her perspective and some experiences of hospital collaboratives and hospitals across the nation that have reduced infections. She is going to be including some great information about our CLABS collaborative also, since that has been such a success. And then after that, we have, there will be a break, and then Dr. Charles Frenette from McGill University Health Center will be joining us. He's going to talk about the epidemic in Canada, since there was a new strain there of C. difficile and what they did in Canada. And following that, we have David Calfee. Dr. Calfee is from Mount Sinai Hospital, and he is going to be talking about the epidemiology of C. difficile in the United States to follow that. Then after that, we're really going to get in the nuts and bolts of C. difficile. We're going to have a panel discussion. We're very excited about this part. Brian Cole, who's the expert for this initiative, will be moderating this panel, and we have quite a few. It's five different perspectives included, including Rachel Strickoff from the Department of Health HAIR program. So we'll be talking about the New York State Department of Health perspective to reducing C. difficile. Audrey Adams from Montefiore Medical Center will be doing more of an interactive presentation, which we won't tell you all about, and you'll see on Friday when you get there, about the hospital infection prevention perspective. And then we know how critical the role of support service departments are in reducing infections. We have a great presenter, Jerry Varela, who's the Vice President of Environmental Services at North Shore LIJ, who will be giving their perspective on including housekeeping in preventing infections. And then we have Our Lady of Mercy Medical Center, two speakers, Eileen McCaskill and Suzanne Mulgrew, who will be talking about the hospital transport service perspective. We don't want to leave nursing homes out of this panel either, just because this is a sort of back and forth issue. So we have a person from Amsterdam Nursing Home named Evelyn Elkanton, who will be giving the nursing home perspective to reducing C. difficile. After that, everyone will have a lunch break. And then finally, the end of the day will involve Dr. Cole, going over what the C. difficile Collaborative is, the requirements of it, and some of the data collection that will be occurring during it. And then finally, at the end of the day, there's going to be team planning exercises. So the hospitals will be getting together with nursing home partners, which I'll get into in a minute about the nursing home partners, but the hospitals will be getting together in their teams, so it's interdisciplinary teams, and they'll be determining their strategies for reducing C. difficile, immediate strategies and over the next few months. And we're going to be following up this learning session with conference calls, of course, so that we can hear your progress, see how you're doing, and try to determine if there's anything that we can do to help you with this. But this is a really exciting initiative. There's a lot of enthusiasm, and we're really excited to kick it off on Friday. The one thing I did want to say about nursing home partners, Gina had been in touch with all of you to let you know we wanted each of you to bring one or two nursing home partners in which there's many transfers back and forth, because we know that there is there are some issues with C. difficile cases going back and forth. So we do have quite a few nursing homes coming, which is great, and they'll be involved with you during the team planning exercises that occur in the afternoon. And plus, we're integrating the nursing home long-term care perspective in several of the presentations. So like I said, we're really excited about it. And the last thing, we just want to make a plug one more time about the interdisciplinary team and how important it is not just to have infection control and the clinicians involved, but also environmental services, transport services, and other support service departments, because everyone is really important and essential to reducing C. difficile and other infections. So one last plug on that. But judging from attendance, you all know that, because we see that there's a lot of different disciplines coming to this. And the last thing I want to say before we open it up for some questions, several of you have been calling asking if you could still register some people. We're at the point at over capacity, so if anyone is canceling, we just ask that they let us know if they're not going to be coming on Friday, and then we have sort of a waiting list of some people that would like to come, and we can open it up to them. So, Gina, did I leave anything out?
No, that's it.
Okay. Carrie, are you there yet? No, okay. So, operator, can we open it up and see if anyone has any questions about the learning session?
Yes, ma'am. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. We'll pause as we wait for participants to queue. I'm showing no questions in queue at this time.
Gosh, that was easy. So I think everyone is just looking forward to coming. If you do have any questions about it before Friday, just give Terry, Gina, or me a call, and we'll try to help you out, whatever you need. And then the last topic on the agenda is about the CLABS data. And some of you, this won't probably, you don't, some of you on the line are a different team, so you're the C. difficile team, but we have an initiative, Greater New York and UHF, that has been focused on reducing central line associated bloodstream infections. It's been going on for 3 years. Our results have been great. There's been an overall reduction in central line associated bloodstream infections among the participating hospitals at about 60%. And we did recently look at the most recent data, so that's the data from the fourth quarter of 2007. We sent it out to the CLABS group, and many of you overlap, so you probably got that data. And the fourth quarter results show a pretty dramatic rise in central line associated bloodstream infections, with the month of October was at about 2.75 infections per 1,000 central line days. It then goes down a little bit in November. And December data, we're all the way up to something like 3.14 infections per 1,000 central line days. One thing to make note of that data that I just said, it's not complete. We have about 77% of the participating hospitals' data in there, so that could likely change once we get the rest of the hospitals in there. So for those hospitals that submit data for the CLABS Collaborative that are online, I'm asking that you please submit your December 2007 data so we can reflect a more accurate number, and then we can resend those results. But we were concerned, and we wanted to just make sure that everyone is adhering to the central line bundle still 3 years later, also ensuring that there is appropriate central line maintenance. And also that the one part that we think is really important based on the experience of the hospitals in the collaborative, that hospitals are conducting root cause analysis on positive blood cultures to identify how infections can be reduced in the future. So that being said, I'm going to ask the operator again to see if there's any questions about anything we just kind of threw out there at you about the learning session or about the central line associated bloodstream infection data.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question or comment at this time, please press the 1 key on your touchtone telephone. We'll pause as we wait for participants to queue. Our first question or comment is from the line of Janine Waltman from Glen Cove Hospital. Your line is open.
Thank you. Hello. I just wanted to verify, I know we're doing the C. diff with only adults, and we're using 18 as the cutoff age?
That is correct. That's what the steering committee had determined.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And Brian will be going through all that, too, on Friday.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Jalon, I'm showing no further questions in queue at this time.
Okay. Well, rather than keep you on the phone, we can end this call because we're going to be seeing you for an entire full day on Friday. Again, we're really excited about the program and the attendance. So, Raphael and Gina, am I missing anything? Did you want to say anything else?
Just to reiterate that if anyone has whatever problem with the data forms, please feel free to give me a call, send me an email, and I'd be happy to help you through whatever problems you seem to be having.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, everyone. Looking forward to seeing you on Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude the conference for today. We do thank you for your participation. We all disconnect at this time. Good day.